Thank you, Lindy. Good morning, church. Welcome all those who are here today, some for whom are from our gym community, might not regularly be here. It is awesome for you to be gathered here. Look, we're very lucky. Nicola's going to come and speak to us soon. A few months ago, some of the people from SLT approached me and said, oh, look, there's this trainer at the gym. And she is interested in doing an event. I'll try not to steal any of Nick's thunder, so I won't. I was like, oh, yeah. I said, well, I guess we'll go have a coffee or something, won't we, Nick? You go say hello. And yeah, we had a lovely conversation and a coffee. And just talking about history and the work of the church. And long story short, Nicola's one of the trainers at our gym, but has a connection with this church that goes back many years. And I'll just spoil one thing, Nick. I hope this doesn't spoil too much. But as you walk in, you'll see a red picture above the entry to the church that was painted by Nicola 20-something years ago. And Marionette at an auction or something bought it for it to be here as part of what was then the new building. So there's a long history between us and Nicola. Nicola does work with a church in Penrith, associated with C3, and there is a mission field out there that you all well know of, as there is a mission field here, but there is a mission field out there, and Nicola feels very called to doing work in that part of Sydney and reaching the unreached out there, which is part of the conversation that's going to happen today. Given that background and that context, I wanted to say it's lovely to be able to invite Nicola up to here because she's family. She's part of the family here at PUC. And Nicola, you're amongst family. So don't feel in any way, shape or form nervous because you're with brothers and sisters here this morning. Why don't I pray and then I'll invite you up. Dear Lord, just thank you for this opportunity that we get, Lord, together with brothers and sisters, with family, Lord. And as we gather here in your name, we know that you speak through the words of all those that share from their heart. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that the word that you've prepared through Nicola this morning, Lord, that you just might speak to us, Lord, that we might have open hearts and open minds to what you have to say. And Lord, I just pray that there will be a great blessing for all of us as we gather here today. Lord, we just thank you for these things, and we just pray these now in your son's name. Amen. Round of applause for our guest speaker for today.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Thank you. Oops. Got to put my timer on. Hello, good morning. How are you? Can you see me past that? I have to scoot over here. So good to see some familiar faces from the gym. Are you from the gym? Give us a wave. Hello, how are you? Or up the back, hello. How are you going? So Katie, Kate's here. That's my special guest, Kate, up the... Can we welcome Kate? It's her first time here. Awesome. Wow. She'll probably hate that. She'll be like, I just tried to sneak in, sit up the back, and now you've made a big deal about me. So so good to be here. Yes, I work at Neighbourhood Fitness. Been working there since about December last year when Dave was desperate for a trainer to come in and help him with holidays. And I love it. I work there. I do about 4 days a week there. And it's an incredible community, and I just love it to bits. But my other job... the gym kind of is like a side hustle for me. My other job is that I'm the senior minister of C3 Church Penrith, and God sent me out there coming up to like 3 years ago. And before that, I was a travelling evangelist, and I would go to many, many different churches to share my story and preach the gospel and invite people into a relationship with Jesus. And so to go into pastoring was a very different kind of pivot for me. But I love it. I love it so much to be planted there. And in the west of Sydney, we have the highest crime rate in Sydney. And so it's kind of funny and ironic that God sent this little blonde chick out there to be in a church pastor. And but it is great. We see people coming to Christ every single week. And I just want to thank you for coming out this morning, because I would have a story to share with you that absolutely proves God's faithfulness, his restoration power, and his knowing of every detail in our life. You know, God is such a big God. He is massive. He's powerful. He is the Lion of Judah. but he's also a lamb that went to the cross for us, laid down his life so that we could be forgiven, number one, but come into a personal relationship with him. Isn't that incredible? Can we give him some praise? Can we thank you? Thank you, Jesus, for your amazing Holy Spirit. You know, the scripture, I guess my message today is called Come and See. Come and see. Come and see that God is good. Come and see that God knows you. And there's a story in John 4 that I absolutely love about Jesus having a one-on-one encounter with the woman at the well. Anybody familiar with that story? I'll just tell you a little bit about the background for you that don't know. But Jesus was going through Samaria and he wanted to have an encounter with this woman because he realized that this woman's love tank was on empty. And you know, that's what Jesus is always about. He's about love. God is love. And this particular woman had had five husbands and the man that she was with was not her husband. And so she was looking for love in all the wrong places. Anybody been there? And Jesus has this encounter with her where he proves to her how much he knows her by having a word of knowledge. And he said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" And she couldn't believe that Jesus asked her in this encounter at a well. She couldn't believe that Jesus, a Jew, would ask her to give her a drink, to ask him to give her a drink. And she's like, "Why are you even talking to me?" She was so distant from God that she couldn't believe that he would even want to even speak to her. And the upshot of this whole conversation was that Jesus proved to her that he knew her deeply, as deep as a well perhaps. But he said to her, "The man that you are with, go call your husband. The man that you're with is not your husband." And it freaked her out. It absolutely shocked her that he knew that about her. It was God proving that he was personal to her. And the upshot is that her eyes were opened and she saw the Savior of the world. Her first reaction is what I love. Her first reaction was the revelation of Jesus everybody needs to know. And she ran into the town and said, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." We see that scripture in John 4, verse 29, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." Isn't that incredible? God has a personal relationship with this woman and he wants to have a personal relationship with you. See, many people come to church because they think, "Oh, that'll get me into heaven." Many people, you know, think that doing good will get them into heaven. But the only thing that will get you into heaven is having a faith that Jesus went to the cross and died for you personally, that you are included in his sacrifice on the cross. It's a powerful thing to think that you could have salvation, eternal life given to you as a free gift by just believing. And you know, I met Jesus about 30 years ago and I had one girlfriend who started to pray for me. I was very broken at the age of 29. I was addicted to drugs. I know that's hard for you to believe because I look like a complete angel, right? But I was addicted to drugs, looking for love in all the wrong places. I was that woman at the well. I was searching, thirsty, hungry, searching for truth. I thought surely there's truth in this world. I just was so desperate to find it. And this one girl, she saw my pain. I grew up in a very abusive household. My two parents were alcoholics. So there wasn't a lot of, you know, functionality going on in our house. And, you know, I felt very alone and broken. And when I was just like 8 years old, can you imagine how short I was at eight, Tris? Like, when I was just 8 years old, I started diving in our swimming pool out the back. I spent hours in the swimming pool because it was peace and quiet for me there. I was escaping from all the abuse in our family. And I would spend hours in the pool and soon enough I taught myself how to spin off the side of the pool and do somersaults and back somersaults. And my dad saw me and signed me up for diving lessons. I started diving when I was 8. And at just the age of 14, I got to represent Australia in the World Diving Championships. It was such a huge privilege to go to Texas and Canada and carry the flag for Australia. And I did quite well. I was the youngest competitor ever to compete in a world event at the time. I'm not sure if I still hold the record, but it was a great privilege. But then when I came back, I had an accident off the 10-metre platform that would change my whole life. And, you know, I'd done 1,000 backward dives off the 10-metre platform before, but this day was different because I climbed up that tower that day really disappointed and discouraged that my dad didn't turn up for that event. And little did I know, though, he was going to be late. He did turn up for the event, but my perceived disappointment and discouragement got into my heart. And as I took off on that dive from the 10-metre platform that day, I lost my vision. And I landed really badly in the water. Instead of coming through like a pencil, I overextended my spine and smashed through the water on entry and ripped all my neck, spine and hips out of joint. And I was absolutely broken on entry, unconscious. Judges had to dive in. It was a national competition. Judges had to dive into the water and rescue me and came out. When I came out, I knew that my big dream was over. I was in so much pain. I was numb. I was just like, oh, my God, I've done something really bad. And the upshot of that is that I had to give up my sport. My big dream was to get to the Olympics because I'd already been to the Worlds. And all I wanted to do was win gold for Australia. And so, church, this just broke my heart in a million pieces because I lost my dream. I lost my vision. And anyway, I gave up my sport and I just got so broken. That's how I got into taking drugs and went down the wrong path and just was, you know, had no regard for my life at all. I just had nothing to live for. You know, when you don't have a vision, the people perish. And I lost my vision until this one girl saw my pain. And she started praying for me. I didn't know she was a Christian, but she started praying for me and she said to me, I've got a ticket to the best party in the universe and you should get one. And I'm like, well, I was a party girl, so I didn't want to miss out on the best party in the universe. And I knew she was talking about heaven, something spiritual, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. I didn't know she was talking about Jesus. Anyway, it started to do a work in my heart. She said to me this, she said, I want you to wake up every morning and say, I believe, I believe, I believe. And so I was very obedient. I would just wake up every morning and say those words. And little did I know it was kind of doing something in my heart. I had no idea what I believed in, no idea at all. But I just said, I believe, I believe, I believe. And then I felt this just gigantic pull to go and hunt this girl down. She went to New York. I felt, I have to see this girl. She's got the truth. She knows something I don't know. She knows something about heaven that I don't know. And so I bought a one-way ticket to New York City to hunt her down, to find her and ask her, how do I get the ticket? How do I get my ticket to the best party in the universe? Anyway, she said, you've got to come to church with me. That's how you get your ticket. And I said, okay. So I go to church. She sits me in the front row of the church. And I hear for the very first time at 29 years old the gospel. The good news that I don't have to prove anything, that I don't have to do anything, that just by believing I can be saved by grace through faith, and it's a gift from God. So no one can boast. Ephesians 2 verse 8. And I was just like, this is incredible. This is too good to be true. What do you mean? But there's still that spiritual battle of surrender. And so I remember that day just surrendering and saying, okay, God, well, I've got nothing to lose. I'm going to raise up my hand to say yes to you today. And as I did that, I felt God's power come into my life. I was bawling my eyes out just saying, oh, wow. You know what, church? In 1 millisecond, I knew that God had seen everything in my life and still loved me. He'd seen all the broken bits. He'd seen all the addiction. He'd seen all the pain, all the sin, everything, and he was still inviting me to come into his household, into his family. And honestly, I was just absolutely, it was for me like swimming under black, thick mud my whole life and breaking through into the barrier reef and going, wow, whoa, There's a spiritual world out there that I had no idea about. And I couldn't believe it took 29 years for me to hear the gospel for the very first time. Why didn't anyone tell me before? 29 I was. And it still shocks me that people don't know. There are thousands and millions of people in the world that don't know the good news. And church, this is such a time for us. This is our watch. This is our days to get the message out that it's so easy to come into a personal relationship with Jesus by just believing. See, I'd done my homework. By the time I had to believe, my heart was soft enough to do that. And I came into a relationship with Jesus that changed my whole life. The moment I met God, I knew I was called to be a preacher. I knew I was called to be an evangelist. And all I wanted to do was get out there and tell everybody. Well, 3 months after having a relationship with Jesus, I found out that he was also a healer. I was like, oh my goodness, I need that. My spine, my neck, my hips. I mean, I was in chronic pain for 15 years. I couldn't sleep properly. I couldn't function properly. I was okay if I was on my feet, but if I was sitting in a seat or lying down, it was just terrible pain. I went to Jesus with childlike faith and said, Jesus, if you heal people in the Bible, you can heal me. And you know what happened was I felt his power and his grace come upon my life. And for 2.5 hours, Jesus reconstructed my spine, my neck, my hips. I felt his thumbs. I felt the hand of God upon me. And my testimony is this, that I stand here completely healed today. After 30 years, I'm still healed, and God completely moved my bones on the inside of my body. His healing power is real. He can cure cancer. He can heal the sick. He can raise the dead. If you think back, if he can raise the dead, he can do anything. Jesus is all-powerful, all-knowing. He's a mighty God. He deserves some praise. Would you praise him right now? After being like restored physically, I just wanted to get the message out to as many people as possible. I'm like in New York going out to tell everybody, Jesus is a healer, Jesus is a savior. And I just felt like God was calling me to be an evangelist. And came home to Sydney, did Bible school, went out, planted a church in London, came back, did all this stuff. But deep in my heart, there was still this deep like yearning for a relationship. And I went the wrong way and chose for myself the wrong guy to marry. I disobeyed God. I knew that the guy I was going to marry was not God's best. He wasn't a believer. I thought, don't worry, I'll get him saved. But you know what? It didn't happen that way. And it was a terrible thing, but I put myself in so much danger that I stepped into a very abusive relationship. And I found myself nearly losing my life at the hands of my husband. I had to escape this domestically violent relationship. And, you know, it was like God held my hand and got me out of a situation that I put myself into. But he's so faithful and so gracious that my sister had her kids up here in Treetops at the time. And so I left my husband and I was 6 months pregnant with my second child, and I had a one-year-old, just to give you a picture of my situation. And I was like, oh my God, God's never gonna use me ever again. I've been disobedient, I've gone the wrong way, I've chosen my way over his way. And I found myself just so broken, with no hope, so discouraged. And my sister was coming up here to Treetops, and she said, I saw this flyer on the wall for this ministry called Flamingos. You should go to it because it's a support group for single mums. And it's at the Pittwater Uniting Church. I'm like, oh, okay. So I go up there. I'm not in church. I'm backslidden. I'm destroyed. I've got no hope. I think I've wrecked my whole life. And I turn up here. Dan, this is like 20 years ago with beautiful Sandy Gillespie. Anyway, I turn up to this ministry and I'm telling you, Pittwater Uniting Church, it was my lifeline. My absolute lifeline. And I would turn up to these meetings and there was all these other single mums. And I just felt, you know, that community come around me. And I met this, sorry, I met this beautiful woman there who just had a mother's heart for me. Her name was Marion Powell. And I told her my story. And she said, she's so gracious, she said, would you share your story at our Shimmer conference? I'm like, oh my God, you don't want me. You don't want me. She said, I do. And so I remember being here on this stage, on this platform, sharing my testimony of healing and salvation with people just like you. And it was the most amazing opportunity for me because it was almost like God saying, I believe, I still want you. I still believe that you have a ministry. And she said, would you paint me a painting that we can auction off at the conference? I said, you don't want that. I've only just done like one or two paintings before. She's like, no, I do want that. And so I painted this painting above that painting on the foyer, in the foyer. And I think Marion paid for it herself. I think she bought it just to encourage me. But you know what Marion did? She seeded the speaking ministry in me and the art. And since then, she wouldn't have known this, but 20 years has passed. But I got restored back to church, restored back to faith, and became an evangelist, you know, all across Australia, sharing my story, winning people to Christ, and started to feel this call to put up a big tent. And the Lord, I did two big tents. We've got a picture of the two. This is the big tent. I did two big tents last year. One in Penrith, and where over 150 people came to Christ, and one in Prospect, Sydney, just this year in May, where we had a shootout and everything, like cars got shot, it was crazy. Anyway, we're going into the west of Sydney with big tents, because the thing about the tents is that it's an easy walk-in for people. It's not like you're asking people to come to church. You're asking them to come to the tent. It's like a real novelty, and people, it's easy for people to walk in. And I feel God calling me into this tent ministry. I'm like, little old me, how is that going to happen? And and he said, I want you to put on an art exhibition to raise the money, because these cost a lot. Like the first one we did was like 80 grand in Penrith. But I got trained under a general, an evangelist called Tim Hall. You might know of him. But he trained me. I did two tents with him and for him, and pretty much came out of two tents, and God's like, okay, you now. Oh my gosh, what, me now? I got to put up a tent and raise money and do all that. And so he said, put on an art exhibition. I was like, okay. You know, when God speaks to you, you just have to obey. So I started thinking, looking for a place to put on this art exhibition. I'm at the gym, and little did I know, I'm talking to Steve and Carl, and I'm showing them photos of the tent. Like, this is what we're doing and everything, and telling them stories about what happened. And I remember I had a conversation. I said, maybe I could have the art exhibition in the basketball court in the gym. And Carl's like, no, you don't want to have it there. You want to have it in our basement. Like, it's all set up. I'm like, oh, really? Is that even a possibility? So thank you, senior leadership team, for, yeah, like Carl and Steve and just put it together to the team, and they've said, yes, we can have the exhibition here. And it's just a huge step of faith for me to step out in this way. So for the last 3 or 4 months, I've been painting like crazy. Anyway, I haven't been to this church for like 20 years, so I thought I'll wander up and have a look at that flamingo space, because I haven't seen it for years. Even though I know of it, I don't know what it looks like now. So I wander up on a Thursday after the gym, come up here, nobody's here. It's all locked up and dark, and I'm peering through the front door, like right there. I'm peering through, got my face up against the glass, and I'm looking around in the foyer, and then I look up and I see my painting from 20 years ago from the Shimmer Conference. I'm like, what? It was such a God moment of, I knew this moment would happen. I know you. This is where you're supposed to have the art exhibition. All of a sudden, I got this substance of faith, a substance of faith that God knew that I'm supposed to have the exhibition here, that if God showed me that painting like that, and the funny thing about that painting is that it's a man on a mountain in victory. He's praising God.
And he's at the top of the mountain. And when I painted that painting, church, I was right in the valley. I was at the very bottom of bottom that could be. I never thought God would ever use me again. And I thought that the ministry would never happen. And so it was really, it's really prophetic, that painting, because I painted it in victory. And I was just convinced that if God was in the art exhibition, then he'll be in the tent as well. Because I know this about God's heart, is that he wants every person to hear the gospel. He wants every single person to hear the good news about what Jesus did for us on the cross. He wants every single person in this world to have an opportunity to come and see that he is good. He is such a good God. And just like the woman at the well, we get to hear about a personal God. In John 4:32, when he has this encounter with the woman and she runs off to tell everybody, the disciples come back and they say to Jesus, you know, they've come back because they've gone in for food. And John 4:32 says, but he said to his disciples, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. And you know, I feel like this world is ripe for harvest. God is on the move. This world is in such a terrible, dark state right now. But church, we have the good news. We know Jesus. We know that he has the same power that raised him from the dead. He has the same power to heal. He has the same power to save. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never changing. He's eternal. He's powerful. He's almighty. He knows every single thing that you're going through, and he cares. He's a big God. He wants the harvest, but he also knows what you and me are dealing with on a daily basis. And, you know, when I got healed with my back, it's like God showed me that he knew where every single vertebrae of my spine was. He put his thumbs on it. He can put his thumb or his finger right on your point of pain. He put his finger right on the point of pain with that woman at the well. And he proved, see, she had six guys, but she needed to meet man number seven, the guy from heaven. That's who she needed to meet. And when she met Jesus, her eyes were opened. And it's a revelation. God is always about revealing. Do you know you have eyes in your heart? Isn't that incredible? You have eyes. I pray that the eyes of your heart are opened. You have eyes in your heart. You have to see God from the eyes of your heart. That means from your spirit, not from your brain. You know, because your brain sees everything literal, but your heart feels. That is where God is going to measure your heart. He's going to clean your heart. He's going to restore your heart. And I've named this art exhibition Restored, because that is what God does. He is a restorer. And his goal is to restore everything in this world to its original intent. God made this world for his family. That's you, his kids. He wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to have a full life, our joy to be complete. And he's going to come back. Do you know Jesus is coming back real soon? He's coming back. It says that he's coming back on the clouds the same way that he went up when he was with his disciples. He's coming back the same way. We're going to look up God. God's coming back for his church. You're in the right place at the right time if you're in church. But we need to get more people into church, right? We need to get more people into a relationship with Jesus. But you are in the right place at the right time if you're in church. Because together, you need to stick together. We need unity together, every single church banding together. He's coming back for his bride. The church is God's bride. He's coming back for a clean bride. Right now, he's going right through the church, cleaning her up, editing, making a way for the new wine. And you know, if you're here today and you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus, then today is your day. All you need to do is be like me 30 years ago and say yes to God. That's all it requires, just belief, not that you come with a clean slate, that's what God provides. You know, that's what really got me when I came into a relationship with Jesus. The preacher said, he can give you a clean slate. I'm like, I need that. Please, God, wipe all my sins away. He always gives you a fresh start, a new day. His mercy is new every day. And so if you're here today and you've never invited Jesus personally into your life, I'm going to pray a prayer and you can do that with me right now. Can we all just bow our heads in prayer and close our eyes? And would you consider this? Would you say to yourself, am I in a right relationship? Am I in a personal relationship with Jesus? And if you are not, it's so easy just to say, yes, I'm going to let you in. And so all across this room right now, if that's you, I just want you to, nobody's looking around. I just want you to say, do you know what? That's me. I'm going to pray. It's a simple prayer. It simply goes like this. Jesus, come into my life. I'm going to let you in. Forgive me of my sins. And forgive me, right? That's all it is. So if that's you here right now, just give me a little wave. Just raise up your hand, say, that's me. And I'm going to pray. Thank you, sweetie. Who else is there? Just raise it up. Thank you, sweetie. Who else is there? Just raise up your hand now. Thank you. And you want to have a personal relationship, just raise up your hand now and we're going to pray a prayer. Thank you, sweetie. I see you up the back. There's people here inviting Jesus into their hearts. There's no more sacred thing than that. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Lord. God is knocking at the door. He knocks. Would you let me in? Would you let me into your heart? Is there anyone else? Just raise it up quickly and I'm going to pray a prayer that invites Jesus into your life. Holy Spirit's here. Thank you, Lord. Can we all repeat these words after me? Say, dear Jesus, I let you in. Come into my life. Forgive me for all my mistakes. Forgive me for all my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me a fresh start. A clean slate today in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. That's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. How good is that? Do you know what? If you raised your hand, or even if you didn't and you said that prayer in your heart for the first time, would you come and meet me down at the end of the service? And I would like to pray for you personally. I just know God is a personal God. Church, I want to send out an invite for you to come to the art exhibition. If you will come to the art exhibition downstairs in the Flamingos room, can you imagine what a restoration that will be? Where I stood broken and hopeless 20 years ago, I'm now opening up a solo exhibition to raise money for a big tent to win people to Christ. That's what I call a restorative God. Amen. If you come to the exhibition, I would love to see you there. And every painting, 100% of the sales, not 10%, 20%, 100% of everything sold is going towards evangelism in the west of Sydney. It's going right into the tent ministry. And so I want to invite you and welcome you to come and see. And I just want to thank you so much for having me. Thank you.